Tonight's reading is from Sigmund Freud, Civilization and Its Discontents is the name of the book. Here's the quote. Most people do not really want freedom because freedom entails responsibility, and most people are frightened of responsibility. Now, I wouldn't say that I always agree with Sigmund Freud. And in fact, there are some things that he and I would probably not see eye to eye. But in this particular quote, in this particular position, I would say that I am in complete agreement. That there's something that we often say, and that is that everyone wants to be free. But my experience over the last 32 odd years, both as an individual and as a member of the clergy, I haven't found that to be the case. What I've found more often is that people just want to be taken care of. And that folks are often afraid of freedom because it's an unknown. So I find that the uncertainty aspect of that quote, and also the responsibility that that would entail, are the reasons why people, in my experience, very often do not really want to be free. So I thought it would be important to explore this because it's like a given. We usually say, oh, well, you know, everybody wants to be free. And, well, I think in general there's some truth in that. I don't think people really, really consciously reflect on what that means or understand the implications of it. So you know me, I know that most of you know I'm a logophile. I think it is logophile. I'm a lover of words. And my father used to say something that's very true, that words are the fingers that shape the mind. And so I find that anytime I want to understand a subject better, the easiest way for me to do that is to look up the word, find out what the etymology of the word is. And in this case, the word free, or to be free, has a very interesting background. Now, the word as we pronounce it, free, has its roots in Old English and before that in Old Germanic. But it, like all languages, goes back to an earlier Proto-Indo-European language. And what's fascinating is that the word free, or to be free, or even the idea of freedom, which means the presence of freedom, or the location of freedom, like in the word kingdom, actually goes back to a time when you had your tribe, and those folks who were outside of your tribe were usually prisoners or slaves. So when someone used the expression that you were free, it meant that you belonged to their tribe. You belonged to my tribe. And in fact, the word in Indo-European refers to the idea of beloved. And so the idea of freedom comes out of this milieu where we're talking about a tribal world. And those who are outside the tribe are not free. They're prisoners or they're slaves. But those within the tribe are free. And I thought that was fascinating, the idea that freedom was attached to the idea of being beloved or belonging. Thought that was just fascinating. And another word that you'll find if you do some research on the term is you will find that the word noble is also connected to the idea of freedom. Of course, this works out very well for us as Buddhists because that was a favored term that's used in some Buddhist texts. And what does that word mean? Well, it comes from our word no, K-N-O-W, or in the Greek, G-N-O. And it means to know someone, but to know them intimately, to know them in a sense to be one with them, to be one with them. So when you put it all together, it's very cool. The idea of being free, or freedom, means to have a certain nobility, to have a certain connection, to have a certain sense of belonging. And I think that this gets at the reason that I have found that so many people say they want freedom, but don't really act like it. And I think it's because of this, especially when you understand that background. The basic Buddhist premise is that all our suffering is created because on some level we believe, we think, that we're separate from each other. And whether we're conscious of it or not, we are always trying to overcome that sense of separation. We believe there's a gap, and we're always trying to fill that gap. And again, for many people, it's unconscious. Now, if I can't fill that gap in ways that I might say are healthy, ways that are based on love, based on a sense of belonging, then I am going to resort to power in order to achieve those same ends. And when I'm coming at freedom from what I would say is a clear perspective, then the fruit of that is compassion. When I'm coming from a sense of separation and I have to use power to try to overcome that sense of separation, then the fruit of that, and it's very interesting, the fruit of that is a strange new sense of separation. Because, interestingly, when we seek to overcome this sense of separation with power, we believe that that power gives us autonomy. And that autonomy, which we seek, believing that that is how we will finally control this separation, it just brings upon us a new sense of separation. So, what do we do? Well, the Buddhist solution, or the mindful solution, the Dharma solution to this, is to wake up. And what does that mean? It means that we begin to look at things with an awareness of things as they are. Not as we were taught they are, not as we might currently believe they are, but as we can test them and see that they are. And as you know from the Three Principles of Oneness, one of the things that we can do is we can observe the nature of the universe and we can yield insight from that. And one of the great insights that we yield from this understanding is that all things are one. That all things are interconnected. Nothing actually exists in separation. And the idea that we're separate is the very thing that starts to make us act very weird. It's what brings out all the bad stuff, the neurotic stuff. Because we flip back into this idea of separation, and now we have to overcome it through some other means. So the first step is for us to wake up to the oneness of all life. That's what the word Buddha means, someone who is awakened to the oneness of all life. Now what can we do beyond this experience or even this understanding that all things are one? Well, this is where the spiritual technology of mindfulness comes in. And in this case, we're going to analyze freedom and the meaning of freedom in a new way. One of the things the Buddha often did is he took terms that were very common in his time and his culture, and he gave them new meaning. And so he did the same thing with the idea of being free. For most people, the idea of being free means that they are unconstrained, or they are uninhibited. And some people interpret freedom as, I can do anything that I want. And that sort of sense of freedom, while I think is a part of the larger meaning of that word, it's a very limited sense of it. And it's a sense that is based more on separation and the idea of some kind of autonomy. So that if I say that freedom is mainly about being unhindered, then I'm doing that from this sense of autonomy, that I'm somehow separate now. And that autonomy is some kind of power. The problem with that aspect of freedom, we're talking about freedom in that way, is that we're always then trying to manipulate the outer world. And I'm not saying that there isn't a practical sense to that. Obviously, if I was imprisoned, or, you know, someone had me in chains, I would want to break those chains. I wanted to be free from that prison. So I'm not denying there's a practical aspect to that. But I believe that the Buddhist teaching goes much deeper than just that sense. For the Buddha, in my understanding, freedom was intimately connected with the idea of one single thing. And that was reactivity. For the Buddha, the teachings of mindfulness, meditation, precept, were all about helping folks to be free from their reaction or reactivity to the world. As I say, this is what might call a depth or deeper idea of this, and one that is transcendent of just the sort of plain sense that we often think of. Because the truth of the matter is, we at some point may not be able to manipulate the outer world. We might find ourselves in a position or place where no matter what we do, we can't escape our circumstances. And that prison or cell might be one of our own making, one that we make out of delusion, one that we make out of hatred, one that we make out of greed. Or it could be one imposed upon us by our bodies. Perhaps I have a disease, and that is a sort of prison for me. My body itself can seem like a prison. In those circumstances, if the only freedom that is possible is to be free of that particular cell, then we'll never truly be free. True freedom will never be possible. So the Buddhist teaching is getting to the heart of what true freedom is. And I believe it's related to the plain sense, and I'll finish with that. But it's mainly about learning how to not be so reactive to the world, so reactive to the things that go on in your mind. Because the prison, according to the Buddha, is a cell that we've created. And when I say we, I say that I'm talking about the entire universe, nature itself, evolution, my family condition, my particular biological condition. All of that has been created, and that cell is locked if we're not aware, if we're not awake. And the cell door, as you often hear quoted, is locked from the inside, not the outside. That ultimately the Buddha's teaching is trying to help us to understand that whatever we think is hinging upon our freedom, whatever it is that's keeping us from being truly free, that the cause of it is this lack of freedom we have over our own minds, over our own thoughts, over our feelings, over our sensations. And even those things we really can't control. Thoughts will come and go, feelings will come and go, sensations will come and go. But what we can do is we can begin to develop an inner locus of understanding and control, whereby we no longer just react to whatever is going on, but rather we learn to observe and then choose which thoughts we're going to believe. And by practicing in that sense or in that fashion, we learn to become less reactive. Now, will this reactivity completely ever end? I don't think in this life. But I do think that we can experience a very deep level of non-reactivity. And that non-reactivity is the freedom that the Buddha emphasizes, where I'm not so easily manipulated by the outside world. I'm not so easily manipulated by thoughts or beliefs that I've been told. And when I am not reacting in the same way, the image that the Buddha used was the idea of a fire, and the fire represents the flames of delusion, and those flames are made up of greed and hatred. And when we begin to practice non-reactivity, when we begin to practice freedom in the Buddha's perspective, that fire goes down. But as long as we're alive in this life, in this body, in this form, there'll be embers. And so as we go about our life, while the flames may be gone, thankfully, there still may be embers. And I think the positive way to view that is that it always keeps us humble. It helps us to realize that no matter who we are, how long we've been practicing, no matter what kind of experiences we may have had, that we will still have some things that will hook us from time to time. And that's not the problem. The problem is when we forget to practice. The problem is when we get hooked and our freedom is being taken away from us and we do nothing about it. I said at the very beginning that, echoing the quote by Freud, that the reason that people, according to Freud, and I agree with him, don't really want to be free is because of the responsibility involved. And that's where it comes down to the practice. Our practice is not something that's once and done. As my teacher Bernie Glassman used to say, that your practice is like a glass that you use. Every time you use it, it's dirty. It needs to be washed. And then you use it again. And as long as you're using that glass, it will always be that way. So practice is washing our glass. And it's something we must do every day. And when we get caught, when we find that we're not free, then we can return to the practices. And as we do that on a regular basis, we will know freedom. And we will understand why the Buddha, one of the titles of the Buddha was the liberator. Because true freedom is liberation from this conditioning. This conditioning that causes us to believe that we are not one. So I would encourage you to consider freedom. And that freedom will require you to become responsible for your own life and your own actions. And it will require you to become responsible for your own practice. I wish you well, and I'm here to help.